Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan and Kyle in the morning. Let's talk to the pros. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. Find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. It is Friday. We will be doing Dan and Kyle in the morning with the return of Kyle Yates off paternity leave. But first, as we do every Friday, let's welcome in Dr. David Chow from ProFootballDoc.com. Find him on Twitter at ProFootballDoc. Doc, thank you for fitting me in today. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for being so flexible. Always, you know, last minute notice between cases, whatever.
We should really give everybody a peek behind the curtain that our Friday is always like whenever you have the 10 minutes free in between your surgeries or whatever you got, we just jump on and we do it. It's why I love working with you so much. Start with Alvin Kamara, Doc. Alvin Kamara.
We're on room turnover right now, so that's all.
I love it. All right, sorry. Alvin Kamara here, Doc. You know, he had the sprained MCL. He missed last week. Then he returned to practice on Wednesday. But then he was listed as a DNP on Thursday. Again, this is Friday morning, even earlier than we usually do it, Doc. So we don't know what we're going to see necessarily here from him if he returns to practice at all on Friday. But just overall thoughts, generally speaking, based on what you know about Alvin Kamara.
I think Alvin Kamara, barring the fact that potentially he had a setback in practice, and we don't know that, right? Before we talk about that, I mean, it's certainly possible that you can theorize he was limited practice, had a setback, and that's why he went DNP. It's also possible, bear this in mind, that the Saints had offense install on Wednesday and they used Kamara limited practice and defense install primarily on Thursday. And they said, you can have that day off. So let's not write him off yet. But I don't think he's going to be the same usage as before. If you look at the second half of his last game that he played, he hurt it early in the second half. And he was really good north-south, east-west was the question. So, you know, you would have to think that Sean Payton's very smart in the way that he handles players. So he probably will have Kamara in space, kind of as a slot receiver and pass catching back, but perhaps the runs go to Ingram up the middle. So we'll still see. I wouldn't write him off yet because of the DMP.
Yeah. Okay. Good enough for me, Doc. How about Aaron Jones? Now, we don't expect him obviously to play this week or anything, but he's got the sprained MCL. They gave a 1 to 2 week timetable. It's just a little weird, Doc. I get a lot of questions about it because obviously the Packers have the bye in week 13. So I guess the best way to put it is, do you think given even the bye, of course, do you think there's a reasonable chance, medically speaking, that he could play next week?
Well, certainly it's going to be tempting. There's two ways to look at the bye. One is give him the week 12 off, and then he's got a lot of extra time. And the other is, if he gets a little bit sore, as long as not a made setback, he's got the bye next week. So it's going to be an individual situation. The reason why I think the 1 to 2 weeks is accurate, A, it comes from reliable national sources, but B, sometimes it's just as important what we don't see as what we see. Sorry about that.
Don't apologize.
And we don't see a lot on the video. And with his previous history in 2019 of an MCL on the same side, maybe the doctors felt that little tiny bit of laxity that was old, and this why it's a quicker recovery. Look, Steph Curry comes back from ankle sprains routinely in the NBA because he's had dozens of them, right? And so the first time, you know, like Saquon Barkley, takes longer, right, when it's a big one, you know. So that's why I still have hope that it's not impossible to say that Aaron Jones is going to make a quick return here. And anybody that wants to trade me, I'll take Aaron Jones.
Yeah, go ahead. Hit the doc up here in his leagues. Doc, Russell Wilson, you said last week that you would not be surprised to see him sort of struggle a little bit with his deep ball accuracy. I think to say he struggled a little bit with his accuracy would probably be accurate, to say the least. Is this going to be an ongoing thing here, like this week? Or do you think with a little now extra time to be back, he's going to round into form a little bit more in terms of his accuracy anyway?
Yeah. And you know, honestly, you know, I suppose it's good that I pointed that out about deep ball, but I probably should have gone a lot stronger on it, right? I mean, and saying that he wouldn't be able to, but it's hard to say. I'm not examining him, but certainly that's where he was exposed, right, as he went down the field. And even on the trajectory of his Hail Marys, right? They were a lot flatter, and they weren't he's one of the best deep ball throwers in the league, but And obviously there's downstream consequence. If people start knowing you can't throw the deep ball, then they clamp down and what have you. I think he's going to be a lot better this week. Now, 100%, that's saying a lot. But I'll stick with a lot better this week. I don't think you'll have those handful of noticeable throws where you went, what's going on there? Like his first 35-yard pass that fluttered, right? And some of the other deep balls. I don't think you'll see that this week. I'm not saying he's 100%, but I do think he's better. Let's not do the, oh, he's horrible, you know, the swing bat pendulum swing. I think he's going to be better than we think.
All right, good. Another week, Doc, another week. We got to talk about Kyler Murray. Again, he is returned to practice so far this week. It's Friday. We haven't seen it yet, but things certainly seem to be trending in the right direction. And we've talked about him, and you feel like basically there's a reasonable chance that he could have played last week, probably, I believe, if that's what you said, other than what the team, obviously a team decision. What do you think about this week? And if he plays, Doc, given how far removed he is from that ankle injury, do we expect him to be limited in his mobility?
I think he's going to play for sure. I think he's going to be more mobile than he would have been last week or 2 weeks ago. Do I think he's necessarily 100%? No, I think he can escape the pocket. I'm not sure how many design runs that they'll have for him. He's not going to be quite 100%. But this is kind of what we talked about. I think that because Colt McCoy is a reasonable backup and because they handled the 49ers easily, maybe they went, look, a more pocket-bound Kyler, let's give him another week. We can take care of the Panthers. But this is the NFL. There are no, Division II schools cupcakes on the schedule. I mean, and obviously Carolina and Cam Newton came up and kind of throttled Arizona. So with that, I'm positive that Kyler's going to play. I think he could have played the week before, not at 100%. I'm not calling him soft. I'm saying it was a team decision to do what's right by them. And unfortunately, it backfired. So here comes Kyler.
All right, Doc, Jared Goff, not like anybody is starting Jared Goff himself in fantasy, except for me in the Scott Fishbowl, unfortunately. But his oblique injury here, Doc, he hasn't practiced yet this week. Apparently, he's going to try to throw today, and we'll see what happens. But Dan Campbell said we're good to go with Tim Boyle, maybe David Blau, who knows. So what have you seen from Jared Goff? What's your overall thoughts on his oblique injury?
Well, we said on Monday at the Pro Football Doc podcast that you have to keep an eye on this and that we're not so sure this is a nothing deal and he may not start this next week. And part of that is oblique muscles are important and rib oblique. Basically, whether you're a pitcher, whether you're a golfer, whether you're a quarterback, you need to twist your torso to throw and be accurate or play golf and be accurate. And that's what the oblique muscle is. I think you saw his game plan in game changed because of the oblique muscle. And we know that the oblique muscle isn't going to miraculously get better in a couple days or a week. That's why I said, I'm not sure that he plays. And add into that, look, no offense to Jared Goff, but I mean, he's struggled a little bit this year. Look, if that's Tom Brady, he plays. If that's Aaron Rodgers, he plays. If that's any number, if that's Justin Herbert, who showed up with an oblique, he plays. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert was full practice yesterday, but listed with an oblique from the LA Chargers. Justin Herbert will play with the oblique. Now, I'm not saying that Justin Herbert's, and maybe Justin Herbert's oblique is not as severe as Jared Goff's. I'll give that. But Justin Herbert isn't coming out because he's just the man, right? Where right. Jared Goff is like here versus here, you know, here comes backup. But I will say that on Monday when I said it, I said it might be David Blau time. I had no idea that it was this other guy coming
up. No. Well, he's been on IR, so didn't realize, but apparently he could suit up here. Doc, what about Baker Mayfield? You know, injured, obviously forget about the shoulder, injured his knee towards the end of that game against the Patriots. Now, that was a mildly lopsided score at the time. So based on what you saw in that video, do you think Baker Mayfield's going to be able to suit up and be effective in this game this weekend?
Yeah, I think he could have finished the game. I'm not, once again, not calling him soft. It was a coach's decision. Hey, the score is kind of out of hand. And remember, Stefanski likes Case Keenum. He went a long way in the playoffs with Case Keenum as an OC at Minnesota. So a lot of confidence there. So I think that's why. But Baker's a starter. I don't think the knee by video was a huge deal. Yes, he was hurt, but he wasn't injured. And Baker said he's all beat up. I would be more worried about just being all beat up than just the knee, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, all the bumps and bruises, it raises a toll on you. And that would be more my concern than just the knee.
Last one, Doc, just a defensive player, because it will impact the Bucs' run defense, obviously, with Vita Vea and how people feel about Saquon Barkley. He hasn't technically been ruled out for this game. Doesn't sound likely that he's going to be able to suit up after suffering the knee injury. Do you think he's going to be able to go this weekend? It's Monday night game, so fantasy managers need to know.
Vita Vea or Saquon?
Vita Vea. Oh, we can talk about Saquon if you want. That's probably a good point. First Vita Vea, Doc, then I'll actually very quickly ask you about Saquon. Vita Vea, what do you think?
Vita Vea is not playing on Monday.
Okay.
He was seen in some pre-practice video with what some thought, and it's on my Twitter timeline, an ankle brace. But that was a knee brace that slipped down to his ankle because his thigh is so big and right. conical shape compared to his, and then it slid down. But that's a knee brace. You don't go from a knee brace on Wednesday to playing on Monday. And yeah. No, he's not playing, not in the trenches like that. It's also, there was a report of a bone bruise as well as the MCL. Saquon, I believe, is, and honestly, this might be his healthiest game of the year. I'm not saying his ankle is absolutely 100%, but I'm saying that now he's had extra time on the knee and he's been on the rocks. Now, he will carry the highest six score on our website for the year for him, but it's not at nine in the 90s. It's in the 60s somewhere. I mean, what I mean is 60-some percent, I think it's 62%, of what you normally would expect out of Saquon. And yep. Some of that is still the knee, some of that is still the ankle, but that's still higher than he's been before.
Yeah, great stuff as always, Doc. We've heard the background noise as always. You know, Doc's just fitting us in when he can. I really appreciate you making the time today, Doc.
Anytime. I appreciate talking to you.
All right. We'll be back right in a minute with Dan and Kyle in the morning, where we will actually finally bring back Kyle Yates. All right, guys, here we are back from an incredibly restful and relaxed couple of weeks where he got a ton of sleep. He's at his absolute best here. Is the glue that holds together Dan and Kyle in the morning. It's Kyle Yates, triumphant return. Yates, rested, ready to go, or what?
In the words of one of the great poets of our time, Cam Newton, I'm back. And it is so good to be back here with you, buddy. I'm exhausted. I'm completely like running on fumes, but I missed you. And I am excited to be back here for Dan and Kyle in the morning, heading into, is it week 11? Week 11, like all days and weeks run together for me at this point. So I legitimately have no idea what week of the NFL season it is.
All right. I'll try to like tee up the actual, you know, matchups this week for you. Okay, so you know perfect. Who everybody Thank is you. Playing. So you can try to give some semblance of competent advice, which is what we are here to do, Yates. So get it together. Have your eighth cup of coffee already for the morning and let's go. I will put it on record that I offered to do this podcast at 4:30 in the morning when I knew Yates would be up, but he deferred until like 9-ish. As usual, Yates, you know we're going to get some news. We already found out this morning that Nick Chubb has been activated off the COVID-19 reserve list. So that is good, as we know, so we can deal with that. You know what this is, guys. We're game-by-game breakdown. We'll recap last night in the quickest possible fashion ever because nobody should have to live through that game again. But first, a couple of housekeeping things. We are giving away, reminder, a signed Chris Godwin jersey. Just subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's it. YouTube.com/FantasyPros. That's your entire entry. And then go to FantasyPros.com/contest. That's it. By the way, subscribing to our YouTube channel is going to help you win your leagues anyway. We've got a ton of content going on there right up until the end of the season. Again, YouTube.com/FantasyPros. That's it. And win a signed Chris Godwin jersey. Don't know what you would do without that. Also, my primer. Guys, I don't know if you know about this. I hope you do. FantasyPros.com/my playbook here. Yates, congratulations being back. Ready to jump back in to doing the primer with Pat as we do it in honor of tags this year for the remainder of the year. The My Primer feature, though, the best part about it is that gives you the parts of the primer that go directly to your fantasy roster. That's it. It's totally free. It's completely amazing. Just sync your links for free today at fantasypros.com/my playbook and you will get the My Primer feature. It's awesome. Trust me. I use it myself and it's great. Yates, you remember how we start this, right? Over-under challenge?
I think so.
Remember that bad boy?
I think so.
All right. All right. If you guys haven't played this yet, I hope you have. fantasypros.com/challenge. 10 fantasy point over-unders. There are weekly prizes. There's a season-long grand prize, which is a two-night stay at a Caesars Las Vegas resort, plus airfare. Just go to fantasypros.com/challenge. Yates, we begin with Ryan Tannehill versus Houston, 20.7 fantasy points. What do you think?
If we had Derrick Henry active and in the lineup, I would say take the under because this is going to be Derrick Henry and nothing else, but they're going to need to at least throw the ball a little bit here. So I do think that we can see Ryan Tannehill bounce back and hit the over on this line. I'm not taking it by much, but I will take the over.
Yeah, I'm going to lean over to hopefully, again, Tannehill has been sort of, I feel like people are disappointed with him, but he's been very, very consistent this year. But no, Derrick Henry, come on at this point. Let's just go nuts. And by the way, let's go to AJ Brown. Joe Burrow at Las Vegas, 19.7 fantasy points.
I love Joe Burrow in this matchup. I will take the over here as well.
Yeah, I am going to go over as well. Christian McCaffrey against Washington, 18.8.
I think at this point it's Christian McCaffrey. Even if he does spend some time in that blue medical tent, I will still take the over. He's going to get too much work as a receiver.
Yeah, you can't take the under on anything, Christian McCaffrey. That's just how we roll. DeAndre Swift at Cleveland, 16.7 fantasy points.
Now, I don't know the health of Jamal Williams or Jamar Jefferson, so I don't know what the, you know, is he going to get, what, 35 carries again? I don't know what that is exactly going to look like. I will take the under here slightly.
It does sound like Jamal Williams is trending in the right direction, but we also don't know who's going to be under center for the Lions, which could impact that. I'm going under as well. I think you get a bounce back game here from an angry Cleveland run defense. AJ Dillon at Minnesota, 13.8.
I was surprised by this line. I think this should be a little bit higher here. I was expecting somewhere around like DeAndre Swift's line. So I will take, I'll take the over here with AJ Dillon.
Yeah, I am too, actually. I think he's going to find the end zone in this one, have a big game. How about Stephon Diggs against Indianapolis, 16 fantasy points even.
Hopefully what we saw last week continues as far as that target share for Stephon Diggs. I will take the over here as well.
Yes, I will as well. Again, Indianapolis, much easier to pass against than run against. Amari Cooper at Kansas City, 13 fantasy points.
Man, I hope this game turns into a shootout. If it does, then we're going to see all three receivers, I think, hit the over on what their expected fantasy points are. So Amari Cooper against Kansas City, it's a great matchup. I will take the over, but slightly.
I think this game just has to be the opposite of last night's game so that we can have sort of a balance in the force here, right? Let's go. If this game disappoints, I'm taking a week off yet. Hunter Renfro again. Let's go. Hunter Renfro versus Cincinnati, 11.7 fantasy points.
I think he's got to find the end zone to hit the over on this one, so I will play it safe. I'll take the under.
Yeah, I will as well. Again, I love Renfro. I love the floor that he provides, but 11.7, I mean, that's probably a touchdown at this point, so I will go under. Devontae Smith against New Orleans, 11.6 fantasy points.
I mean, he's getting the targets, at least the target share. So I'll take the over here, but man, it's going to be by the slightest margin.
Yeah, it's very tough for me to sort of deny what we're seeing right now from Smith. I know, you know, the pass attempts aren't really there, but the target share, as you mentioned, is there. And even in a tough matchup, I just think he's the guy. He wrestles for the ball. I think he finds the end zone here and gets over it. George Kittle, last one at Jacksonville, 13 fantasy points.
I'll take the over here. George Kittle up against Jacksonville. Yeah, give me the over.
You know George Kittle is back. All right, Friday morning, again, something will break as we are here doing this podcast. So we'll try to give you some caveats as to who will play, who won't play, what we would do in that situation. But let us, Yates, very quickly start with the Thursday night game. Patriots 25, Falcons 0. Let's start at running back because fantasy managers do need to sort of figure out the situation for the Patriots. Damian Harris, 10 carries, 56 yards, plus a catch for 9. Ramondre Stevenson, 12 carries, 69 yards, plus a catch for 6. Damian Harris, 25 snaps. Stevenson, 21 snaps. Brandon Bolden, who was, again, just back to kind of being the third down back, 17 snaps. So is this just what we're going to see going forward, Yates? Like basically a 50-50 split, you think, or what?
It was really interesting. Going into that game, I was like, man, I hope that we get some clarity here on what this backfield looks like when we do have both of these guys healthy and active, right? And now we really didn't get that because you talk about the snaps, so we're pretty much equal, right? The production was pretty much equal across the board. And you look at Ramondre Stevenson getting 12 carries to Damian Harris's 10, and you say, okay, well, was that the, you know, product of them being up with such a big a positive game script there that they were just going to lean on Ramondre Stevenson? They weren't going to wear down Damian Harris as he was coming back off of clearing concussion protocol. Like, there's a lot of ifs, right, and what ifs there with this situation. So I thought that we were going to get some clarity. At least I wanted to get some clarity. I don't think that we got that. I do think that Damian Harris is still the guy and that Ramondre Stevenson is going to be the backup player here behind him in games where New England's a little bit closer, but it's difficult to say at this point.
Yeah, I think we're going to see mostly a split here. Yeah, it's because both guys deserve work. Like, really, that's
absolutely
what is that,
absolutely,
right? So I do think, again, I don't think you're necessarily going to see them split and get, you know, 24 touches or whatever every single game, that many. But I do think we're moving closer to a 50-50 split. Probably good for real-life football, but bad for fantasy managers. So, again, I think both guys are probably going to be worthwhile flex starting running backs, but they'll probably need to find the end zone to justify either one. Mac Jones, efficient as always, 22 for 26, 201 yards and a touchdown. He does throw the pick. Kendrick Bourne, 4 for 42. Nelson Agholor, 5 for 40, but does find the end zone. Jacoby Myers, 4 for 39. Do we consider starting Myers or any wide receiver here for the Patriots going forward?
It's going to be difficult to predict and project who's going to, you know, get the most receiving yards. And even, you know, Kendrick Bourne finished with the most receiving yards, but that was only 42. And Nelson Agholor was able to find the end zone on a broken coverage, right, where he's just wide open in the middle of the field. So I think that's something that I don't want to comfortably rely on moving forward. So I think it's Jacoby Myers as a low-end wide receiver 3, high-end flex play. I was out when he scored his touchdown. Didn't even get to talk about that. Congratulations, Jacoby Myers. So I think, yeah, at this point, it's Myers as a high-end flex play with very little upside, and that's pretty much it as far as the wide receiver core.
I think when Troy Aikman says it's not good when half your defense is playing zone and half your defense is playing man, I think that that summed up last night pretty well. Meanwhile, Hunter Henry, 3 targets, 2 catches, 25 yards. This is what it looks like when he doesn't score a touchdown. It's not good. For the Falcons, yay, 3 different quarterbacks throw interceptions. That's always fun. Disaster for everyone. You obviously had no Cordero Patterson, which meant Mike Davis really got the load with 3 carries. Wayne Gallman, 1 carry, instead it's Quadre Allison, 9 for 34. Patterson or not, we can officially don't care at all. Officially,
get
doesn't
them all
matter.
Off. Get them all
get
off.
Get them all off your roster about these running backs. Kyle Pitts, 5 targets, 3 catches, 29 yards. Now we knew in this game, that Belichick was going to basically be like, "You're not getting anything, Kyle Pitts." Like, I get it, but it is worth noting he has been relatively held in check in pretty much every matchup. Since not everyone, but almost everyone, since Calvin Ridley has been gone, how do you just feel generally? I mean, you're going to still start Kyle Pitts because he's Kyle Pitts, but is he moving down a little bit in your rest of season rankings from where he was before when Ridley was there?
I do think that you have to downgrade him slightly just based on the fact that Atlanta's offense has scored 3 points over the past 2 games. Like, it's not just that it's Calvin Ridley and that's leading to, you know, Kyle Pitts seeing more attention or whatever. It's just that the offense sucks. So I think with Kyle Pitts, we have to downgrade him to a mid-range, you know, to low-end tight end 1. He's not this guy that we thought he was going to be when he was, you know, getting what the 100 to back-to-back 100-plus yards performances there. It's just not happening for Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, going forward, Yates, would you prefer, let's say, Mike Gesicki or Kyle Pitts?
I'll probably take Gesicki.
Yeah, I think that that is the correct answer. Meanwhile, Russell Gage, 8 targets, 5 catches, 49 yards. Do you care?
I finally got the game where I had to start Russell Gage in a Dynasty League, and I actually started him on the game where he got some work. Like, I had started him when he got zero catches, then I sat him when he had the decent performance a couple weeks ago, then I started him again, he got zero catches, and this one I had to start him, and he actually did something. No, I don't care. From a redraft perspective, no, I don't care.
Yeah, me neither. Thankfully, I only started him. The one time I had to start him was the week that he had zero. So I'm out there, but yes, I agree. Nobody cares about anything other than Cordero Patterson and a fading, unfortunately, Kyle Pitts through no fault of his own. Okay, let's get into all the games from this weekend. But before we do, let me tell you about Organifi and how to improve yourself. Organifi is a line of organic superfood blends that offers plant-based nutrition made with high-quality ingredients. Each Organifi blend is a science-backed to craft the most effective doses with ingredients that are organic and free of fillers and contain less than 3 grams of sugar per serving. They have got a bunch of different blends. I have some. My health-crazed wife has them and all her little running group friends, and they're obsessed with them. Organifi green juice, for example, that helps reduce stress and support healthy cortisol levels with its essential superfoods. Or Organifi gold, that is a superfood tea that supports rest and relaxation so you can wake up feeling refreshed. Yates, I think you need a little bit more of that here with the newborn. Look, they're super easy to use, by the way. Like, they're not any complicated thing. You legit just mix it with water or whatever you're drinking that day. It doesn't compromise the quality for taste. Organifi takes pride in offering the best tasting superfood products on the market. It's less than $3 per day. Go to www.organifi.com/fantasypros. Use the code fantasypros for 20% off your order. That's organifi.com/fantasypros. Use code fantasypros. That gets 20% off any item. All right, Yates, let's start with the Colts at the Bills. Of course, you're starting Jonathan Taylor here. I do want to ask you very quickly, I know you're starting him, but where do you have Michael Pittman Jr. ranked? I talked about him in the kickoff yesterday. I'm fading him compared to the consensus, so I'd like to know where you have him.
I do know that you talked about Michael Pittman Jr. on the kickoff. And that
do you
have
listen
him...
to that show, Yates?
I listened to that. Yes, actually, wow. That was what I listened to on paternity leave because that was just, I don't have a long commute, obviously. And I can digest 15 minutes of you talking. I can at least handle it.
I like it.
You're way too low on Michael Pittman Jr., man. I've got him at 16. So yeah. I think with Pittman, this is the story of our season, by the way, is that I'm always higher on Michael Pittman Jr. than you are.
You have been correct. You have been correct.
I think with Pittman, this has been the situation this entire year, is that we say, well, it's a tough matchup, and yet he continues to just get the job done. He's excelling in man coverage across the board. He's one of the most dominant receivers on third down. Like, he is just getting the job done no matter what the situation is. And we look at the target totals for Michael Pittman Jr., and those have been down because in games where, you know, like last week against Jacksonville, like, he wasn't needed, right? He wasn't needed a ton because they were playing with that big lead. Now, it got closer as the game got closer. But I think with Michael Pittman Jr., they're going to need him in this game. And so I'm a firm believer in that he can get the job done here again. I've got him at wide receiver 16.
Yeah, all right. If you want to know exactly where I have him, listen to the kickoff. That'll be right there. And again, you're starting Michael Pittman Jr. I do just want to sort of raise the point. It's obviously a tough matchup. He'll probably get Tre'Davious White. Whether or not it's in shadow coverage doesn't really matter. But yeah, he's a beast. It's just whether or not he gets the targets, which he does on games that are shootouts. So we'll see if this one is that. Are you starting anybody else here, Yates, on the Colts?
No, I don't think that. It's Jonathan Taylor, it's Michael Pittman Jr., and Carson Wentz is outside my top 15. I would prefer to sit him this week if I can.
Yeah, he's been oddly consistent, of course, pretty much all year, but it's not a spot where you really want to start him. For the Bills, of course, you're starting Josh Allen. Of course, you're starting Stephon Diggs. Kind of quiet days here, Yates, from all other wide receivers. You know, of late, the Bills have been a little weird offensively, and even in the game where they went nuts, nobody else really produced. How do you feel here about, let's just lump all, Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley, even Dawson Knox?
Yeah, I still think that you can look at, let's talk about the wide receivers. I still think that you can look at Emmanuel Sanders and you can look at Cole Beasley. However, they're going to come with a little bit more volatility. You know, I got asked a question on a Discord stages that I do, which you can join at fantasypros.com/chat. And I talked about Emmanuel Sanders versus Rashad Bateman. Someone asked me that question. I was like, well, Sanders comes with more upside, right? Just based on the offense that he plays in. But, and Rashad Bateman, we have the concern of Lamar Jackson, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But with Bateman, I think he brings a safer floor than Emmanuel Sanders at this point. So it depends on what you need, right, as your wide receiver 3. I've got Sanders at 27. I've got Cole Beasley at 35. Both of these guys can be considered, but you got to recognize that the ball could go completely to Stephon Diggs and no one else.
Yeah, it's risk. That's unfortunate because it felt like at one point Sanders at the very least
came was with a very safe floor.
Right. But now he doesn't. And I agree, it's risk. But I have them around there as well. It's funny you mentioned Bateman. Right now, I have Bateman 2 spots back. We'll talk about Lamar Jackson as we get there, which does it. What about Dawson Knox? It's a lot of questions right now because you have sort of this influx of very solid sort of tight ends in that 10 to 12 range where people are making these decisions. Do you have Knox within your top 12?
I do, but he's sitting right there at 12. And okay. Again, we talk about it all the time that from 12 to 18, it's just one of these, you know, these clusters. So yeah, Dawson Knox at 12 for me, I definitely think that you can look his way. However, again, you got to recognize that just based on the tight end position in general, that you could be left disappointed.
Yeah. How about the running backs, Yates? Are you starting either Moss or Singletary?
I have Zach Moss at RB 26 on the week, and that's really just based out of like looking at the other options. You know, I've got Deontay Foreman behind him, JD McKissick, Tony Pollard. Yeah. I had Ramondre Stevenson at the RB 30 on the week. So it's like those kind of guys where, yeah, you can start Zach Moss, but again, like I really don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's correct. I'm a little lower than you do because I really don't want to. And sort of when I'm ranking guys, I'm just like, I need to rank this at a spot where when I get the question on Sunday morning on Instagram Live, by the way, 10 o'clock, make sure you tune into Fantasy Pros. I'm going to be able to say sit Zach Moss. But yeah, I mean, look, again, he's basically a flex play if you absolutely have to. Ravens at Bears, Yates. Look, let's talk about the Ravens first. Again, Lamar Jackson has missed practice so far with an illness. This is Friday. If he returns to practice, it'll be a full goal. Yates, am I crazy? He's missed some time with an illness this season, right?
So JJ Zacharyson on Twitter at Late Round QB, good friend of the podcast, he put out on Twitter, he's like, Lamar Jackson gets sicker more times than a kid at daycare. and I feel like that's actually the case,
right?
Where Lamar Jackson, yeah, you get these times where he's like, yeah, he's missing with a non-COVID illness, and then he's good by Sunday.
Oh, yeah. So we are expecting him to go right now. So let's go with there. As Hollywood Brown, by the way, I'm expecting Hollywood Brown as well. I think it's a thigh. I'm expecting him to return to practice today. Are you? I mean, I'm not really concerned yet. Are you?
I'm not concerned yet. I will be concerned if we get news today that he, you know, was either limited or a DNP. Then I'll be concerned. But for right now, he's still at wide receiver 13 in my rankings.
Okay, so let's assume that both Lamar Jackson and Hollywood Brown play. Of course, you're starting Mark Andrews. And you mentioned where you had Bateman. What was it?
Wide receiver 30.
Okay, what happens to Bateman if Hollywood Brown is out?
Bateman would move up probably just inside my top 24. I'd probably play him just above like Devontae Smith, Brandon Cooks, Hunter Renfro in that range.
If Lamar Jackson sits, who are you starting among the Ravens pass catchers?
Ooh, I really don't want to. I think you can still start Marquise Brown, but you got to adjust expectations to like a wide receiver 3 that with very little upside. And then Bateman, I probably wouldn't even look to start.
But you would start Mark Andrews, right?
Yes. Yeah. Mark Andrews, again, just based on the fact that you probably don't have a better option. So, yeah, I would start Mark Andrews.
How about the running backs here? Obviously, the team has cut Le'Veon Bell. We are expecting, at least I am, Yates, for Latavius Murray to return here. So can you start either Latavius Murray or Devonta Freeman if Murray returns?
If Murray returns, I would prefer to wait this one out if I can. You know, it's up against Chicago. I would prefer to just kind of wait this situation out and see what it looks like. Devonta Freeman has looked good in his absence, it's like, at least from the eye test perspective. So I just don't know what the split is going to look like now with Le'Veon Bell out of the picture. Do we see Tyson Williams finally get some work? Probably not. But that's just part of it. You know, this is a situation where you are playing Latavius Murray or Devonta Freeman completely out of necessity just because you absolutely have to, and that's purely it.
I really hope that fantasy managers don't have to rely on either one of these guys, and then Tyson Williams goes for like 20 carries for like 95 yards of touchdown. Would be fantastic. Right now I have Freeman ranked, assuming that Murray does play, as RB29 and Murray at 38. I think it's something where I would expect Freeman to, both guys would be kind of borderline flexes, Freeman a little stronger. I'd expect Freeman to carry the bulk of the load, but it's really just not, you know, we got to wait and see exactly how it would be. For the Bears, Yates, obviously you're starting David Montgomery as an RB2?
Yes. Yep. Okay. David Montgomery at RB15 in my rankings.
Very good. How about Darnell Mooney here? And, you know, Justin Fields has looked better. The, you know, Ravens, you know, they're not complete death on wide receivers or anything, especially perimeter wide receivers.
Yeah, Darnell Mooney as a low-end wide receiver 3 with upside. You know, I think that if this was a better matchup, I'd probably be, as far as like an easier matchup, right, as far as looking ahead to Thanksgiving, right, against Detroit, then I would probably have Darnell Mooney as a, you know, right around like wide receiver 26, around that range. But just baking into this with Justin Fields coming out of the bye, I have Darnell Mooney at wide receiver 38. You definitely can still look his way. You can start him, but I'm adjusting expectations.
How about Robinson, who's missed time so far with a hamstring injury? So we don't know if he's going to go. If he does, do you have any interest?
Yeah, I really don't think that we're going to see Allen Robinson. Right now, I'm ranking him as if he's playing, and that's at wide receiver 41. But you got to remember, again, in that game against Pittsburgh, which I actually was watching that game in the ER with my newborn son. Yeah, Allen Robinson came up with that big catch late in the game, and then he kind of came up limping. And so if he is now still missing practice after their bye week, that means that I really do not expect him to play. That this is a major issue, not a major issue, but an issue enough that is lingering here. So I really don't think that we're going to see Allen Robinson. If Robinson sits, Mooney would move up into that wide receiver 26 range that I talked about previously, just based on the fact that there's really no one else in this offense.
How about Cole Kmet, Yates? You know, obviously coming off a very, very productive game. But again, we've got all the tight ends. Where does he rank for you?
Yeah, he's at tight end 17 for me. So he's starting to move up here. But it's still just a fact of I don't trust Matt Nagy just yet enough to be able to confidently plug Cole Kmet into my starting lineup. So he's at tight end 17. Again, you can look his way if you're in a pinch, but I would prefer to look elsewhere.
Okay, anybody else in the Bears?
No.
Very good. Lions at the Browns.
Actually, hold on. Justin Fields is at quarterback 18 for me. So he's definitely someone that you can look at, but I have some other options that I prefer.
Yeah, certainly Fields is at, I mean, he's at 17 for me, so I'm not starting him in a single QB league, but yes, worth pointing out, he obviously has played better. Lions at the Browns. Now that Nick Chubb is activated, you are starting him. Are you starting Dearness Johnson with Kareem Hunt still out?
As a flex option, I talked about before I went on paternity leave saying like with Dearness Johnson, I wanted to see what the split looked like with Nick Chubb active and, you know, and then Kareem Hunt out because we couldn't play him in that first game. Right. Dearness Johnson had the massive Thursday night. And then the next week was, all right, what's his workload going to look like? So I think with Dearness Johnson, I've got him at RB 33 on the week right now. I've got Nick Chubb at RB 4. Like you're playing Nick Chubb. And Dearness Johnson falls into that same range as like Ramondre Stevenson from last night, where you can play him as a flex option, but I'm not expecting a massive, massive performance here from him.
Any wide receiver on the Browns that you want to start?
No, no, not at this point. Not with Baker Mayfield looking as rough as he did.
Yeah, now Mayfield sounds like he will play in this game, but it's certainly not looking good there, even in a soft matchup against the Lions. And you're not starting the tight ends, right?
No, they're dart throws, all of them.
Very good. For the Lions, again, so how much does it impact you, if at all, Yates, with DeAndre Swift, as we mentioned sort of earlier, whether or not Jamal Williams plays or Jefferson plays? I mean, who knows here with these injuries?
Right. I think with DeAndre Swift, if we have one of those other guys play, then he's not going to see the 30 carries, 35 carries or whatever. So I've got him at RB 11 right now, but he still is someone that is a rock solid play. Like you're playing DeAndre Swift no matter what. You're just depending on where he lands in the rankings as far as if those other guys play and the workload that he's going to get. So DeAndre Swift, 100% locked into your starting lineup.
TJ Hockenson coming off that sweet one target, zero catch game here. I assume he still starts for you, right?
Yeah, I'm not ready to fully hit the panic button here on TJ Hockenson. I've got him at tight end 7. This is going to be interesting to watch just based on also the quarterback play, right? You alluded to that earlier, right?
Yep.
Jared Goff, Tim Boyle. Like we haven't even seen Tim Boyle. I think it was Field Yates put out on Twitter yesterday that Tim Boyle has a net minus one career passing yards. So we don't know what we're going to get here with Tim Boyle.
It's probably going to be David Blau, though, don't you think? I don't think that Boyle is ready to return
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, if that's the case, too, then yikes.
But would you start him if it's Blau? Let's say that.
Yeah, I think, again, it's kind of the same thing as Mark Andrews. Like, if it's who the backup is, I don't even know who the backup quarterback is in Baltimore. But I think, yeah, TJ Hockenson, like, you're still playing him, but again, you're adjusting expectations.
Are you starting, regardless of Goff, are you starting anybody else on the Lions?
No, not with what we saw. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I would love to be starting Amon-Ra St. Brown in fantasy. He's so good, but we can't trust this Lions receiving corps just yet.
Yeah, man, I always want to. There's signs that it could be something for St. Brown, but definitely not enough to get him in your starting lineup. All right, guys, you're listening to this podcast. Thank you so much. Do you want another podcast to listen to? Well, former Bears quarterback Jay Cutler started up his one-man band and gotten into the podcast game. Cutler brought the heat when he was on the field. He is bringing the heat off the field. Listen to Jay talk sports, controversy, off-the-field antics, and celebrity stuff. You know Jay Cutler. He's exactly what you would expect. He's going to say what he has to say. It's all off the cuff and uncut because that's the podcast, Uncut with Jay Cutler. Give it a listen. Give it a download. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. Again, that is Uncut with Jay Cutler. All right, it's Texans at the Titans. Titans let's just say this. Where do you have, let's start at quarterback. Where do you have actually Tannehill ranked this week?
Yep, I've got him at QB 11 on the week, but he comes with upside.
Yeah, this is a week where I'm going out of my way to try to find a way to start him. He's QB 12, but it's usually sort of more of a reluctant like 13 or 14 or whatever. Yeah, it's, please tell me, like, don't rank it this way, but tell me that AJ Brown finishes as the number one wide receiver this week. Like, we need the bounce back game from this one, and we're going to get it, right?
Please, please. Yeah, I think we got to just confidently rank AJ Brown as a top five receiver and will it into existence.
Yeah. How about Deonta Foreman, though? Yeah, it's you mentioned him as, you know, we were talking about Zach Moss. Any chance you're starting him here?
I am looking his way purely based on the matchup, and that is at RB 27 for me. So if I'm in that same range as guys like Devontae Freeman, Zach Moss, JD McKissick, Tony Pollard, like I'm looking at Deonta Foreman and confidently plugging him into my lineup because of the upside based on the matchup. I think that he is the better running back in this backfield right now. He's passing the eye test. I think that we have to at least look his way. And if he is still sitting out there on your waiver wire for some reason and you're in a pinch, you definitely can look his way.
Yeah, I'm at 28 as well. It's very clear that he is the most effective running back. It's a good matchup. You expect it. They're favored by 10. They expect it to be a positive game script, which means Adrian Peterson probably will find the end zone twice. Right. Are you starting anybody else on the Titans?
No. I mean, I have to start Jeff Swaim in a dynasty league, which feels great. But no, you should not be doing that.
Like not Marcus Johnson. I'm just throwing Marcus Johnson out there.
No, not at this point. Not at this point. Okay. I want to see a couple of games string together here for him before I even look his way in redraft.
Yes, I agree with that. Again, I think he's probably someone to add, actually, but I do think that he's not a start here. For the Texans, Brandon Cooks, obvious start still?
Yep, it's wide receiver 24 for me.
Bench everybody else?
That is the motto.
Yes, I love it. I love doing Texans games because we can go right to the Packers at the Vikings. For the Vikings, you're, of course, starting the usual suspects in Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, and Adam Thielen. How about Kirk Cousins here in this one?
I've got him at QB 14. So behind Ryan Tannehill for sure, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, who we'll talk about. So then Kirk Cousins there, if this game does turn into a shootout like it could, then he'll definitely have the potential to finish as a top 10 option. But there is the potential that he, you know, just doesn't get the job done again. So I've got Kirk Cousins at QB 14 on the week.
Yeah, I've got him at 16. I feel like every single game, maybe it starts or at some point during the game, you'd be like, man, Cousins could put up like 30 fantasy points in this game. And then he winds up with 14 and it's just really disappointing. So yeah, I agree. A guy you can start in a pinch, but I'm not going out of my way to do that. Again, let's talk about these streaming tight ends. Yates, how about Tyler Conklin? Are you starting him?
He's in that same range as Cole Kmet and, you know, Jared Cook and these other guys. So I've got Tyler Conklin at tight end 14 on the week.
Okay, let's throw some guys out at you. Tyler Conklin, I forgot what you said. You had Cole Kmet. Tyler Conklin or Kmet?
Yeah, I'll play Conklin. I've got him at 14, Kmet at 17.
And you have Dawson Knox ahead of Conklin, right?
That is correct. Yep, I've got Knox at 12.
How about Pat Freiermuth versus Conklin?
Yeah, the quarterback situation, we'll adjust that slightly, but I will still play Freiermuth no matter what.
Last one, Zach Ertz or Tyler Conklin?
They are back-to-back in my rankings. I have Zach Ertz at 13. I have Tyler Conklin at 14. If we get word that Kyler Murray is not going to play in this one, I am ranking Zach Ertz as if he is. Then I will play Conklin over Ertz.
Okay. For the Packers, of course, you're starting Davante Adams. Out of curiosity, I mean, we mentioned the line for AJ Dillon in the over-under challenge. Where does he actually slot in for you at your running back rankings?
Yeah, I've got him at RB 10 on the week. So I think that when you look at the fact that, I mean, they worked out Kerryon Johnson. Did they sign him? I don't think that they did.
I don't think they did. I didn't see that.
Yeah, so I mean, it's AJ Dillon in this backfield, and that's pretty much it. So I think that you can look his way based on the, I mean, massive workload that he is in line for. So yeah. RB 10 for me.
I've got him at 7. Yeah, it's like I think given the fact that there's just nobody else right now in that backfield. And again, he has factored into the passing game way more than I expected, even with Aaron Jones on the field. So at this point, you got to like that. And Rodgers, are you putting him in your starting lineup?
I think you can. I mean, yeah, based on where I've got him, I think you can. I've got him at QB 7 on the week. I'm a little bit concerned about the fact that he's DNP. He was a DNP yesterday.
With the toe, right? Yeah. He should be okay.
He should be okay. He said he's going to play. So I'm expecting a bounce back. Again, what we saw last week was the fact that he didn't play or didn't practice for, 2 weeks? You know, so I think just a little bit of rust. That game was terrible. I think Aaron Rodgers will bounce back here. And again, if this game script plays out the way that I think it will, as far as a shootout, then Rodgers will be fine.
Yeah, I have him at 8. So we are right there. Anybody else on the Packers who you want to start?
No. Nope.
Dolphins at the Jets. For the Jets, you know, we're going to have Joe Flacco here. You're still obviously starting Michael Carter, even with he's not going to get, you know, 10 targets a game or anything, right?
Who knows? But yeah, I've got Michael Carter at RB 19. So you're still starting him, of course.
Sorry, to be clear, I wasn't asking you to opine on how many targets Michael right. Carter was going to get. I bet more we have it. Yes, I agree. I'm a full start here for this one. You know, look, Corey Davis returned. He had a pretty decent game here against Buffalo. Elijah Moore, you know, has been doing it for a few straight games. Which Jets receiver, if any, are you willing to start this week against Dolphins?
I'm still looking at Corey Davis. I've got him at wide receiver 28 on the week. So I do think that he is still a solid start there as a high-end wide receiver three. It might not, the production might not always come in, you know, through the first three quarters, but in garbage time, you could see it happen there. So Corey Davis at wide receiver 28. And then I do think that you can look at Jamison Crowder and Elijah Moore. I've got them right on that edge there of what we, the qualifications for a start there. So I've got Jamison Crowder at wide receiver 40, Elijah Moore at wide receiver 42 currently.
All right. Again, as usual, I'm fading Elijah Moore a little bit more, but I will reassess as we get into it. Anybody else in the Jets?
No. Nope.
Correct answer. That is the correct answer. Yates, how do you feel about Jalen Waddle now against a very beatable secondary with Tua back?
You got to start him. Jalen Waddle has been just on fire. He's been a rock solid play. So I got Jalen Waddle at wide receiver 20. And there is the potential that he rises even higher than that by the time that we get to game time. So up against the Jets, who just saw, I mean, Stephon Diggs torch them, then I think you got to play Jalen Waddle.
Yates, Jalen Waddle or DJ Moore?
I will play Waddle. I've got DJ Moore at 22.
This is a decision I face every single week in one of my leagues. I rarely choose correctly. Jalen Waddle or Tyler Lockett?
I have Waddle at 20. I have Tyler Lockett at 21.
Boom. All right. Excellent. Mike Gesicki, you are starting. You are not concerned about the fact that he was, even though he got seven targets last week, he had no catches. I assume he's in your starting lineup.
Yeah, he's in my starting lineup. That was a weird game for Miami. So yeah, up against the Jets. Yeah, you got to start him.
Perpetual disappointment, but volume-based Miles Gaskin. What about him this week?
Oh, my word. RB22. So he's someone that you can start if you need to, but I am looking to get away from him if I can. But it's the Jets, man. Like we at least need to at least put him into this conversation. Otherwise, I wouldn't have him in this conversation.
Nothing makes me less excited than when I frequently recommend Miles Gaskin in my start sit recommendations, which I do often because that's at the level he's at. And he is at RB21 for me. There you go. Are you certain Tua here as a streamer, Yates?
I am. I have Tua Tagovailoa at QB15 on the week. So you're looking at, I mean, if we're not playing Tua in this matchup, then when are we playing Tua up against the Jets? So yeah, I'm starting him.
Yeah, well, you have him at 15. So like you're right, you said?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're starting him, but as
right, dependent upon other options, okay. Of course. Right. But if I need a streamer, then yes, I'm looking at Tua.
Yeah, I just want to make that clear because I really like Tua as well, but he also comes in at 15 for me. So like when I recommend him, I'm like, well, I mean, maybe you are. Cam or Tua, Yates?
I will play Cam.
Yeah, we'll talk about Cam in a little bit here. Anybody else on the Dolphins that you want to start?
No.
Saints at Eagles. Look, some concerning signs here. Hopefully fantasy managers know about Kamara by the time, you know, either they listen to this or at least by Sunday, because again, he returned to practice with that knee injury. Then he was a DNP on Thursday. So I guess break it down both ways. If Kamara starts, A, are you starting him? B, are you starting Mark Ingram?
If Kamara starts, and I desperately need him to in several of my leagues, because otherwise I'm in a bad place, then Kamara, I've got him at RB5. Like, you're starting Kamara.
Yep.
You know, like, if he's playing, he's healthy enough to play, you're playing him. If Kamara plays, Mark Ingram is in that same territory of Zach Moss, Deontay Foreman that we talked about earlier. Like, he's a flex play, someone that you can look his way if you're in a pinch. If Kamara misses, Mark Ingram moves up into probably top 15 territory. Like, I'd probably put him just behind Antonio Gibson, who I've got at 16. So probably right around, RB17 in that range.
Okay. All right. That's where I would move him to, although I admit I have Gibson lower. We can talk about that when we get there. But I agree with you in terms of where you are putting both of these guys. Anybody else that you are looking at on the Saints in this game?
No, I mean, I'd love to be able to talk about one of the wide receivers of Marquez Callaway or Tre'Quan Smith and, you know, confidently recommend them because of the opportunity, but the opportunity just isn't there. So no, I'm not looking their way.
Yeah, I mean, one of them will probably have a decent game. It's just
It's a complete dart throw.
So I don't want to go there as well. For the Eagles, we don't know whether or not Miles Sanders is going to return here. I actually haven't seen anything other than obviously he was designated to return. That opens up the 21-day practice window. But we don't know other than there's optimism. So I guess, Yates, let's break it down every which way. Miles Sanders is active for this game. What are you doing with the Eagles running backs?
I honestly might sit Miles Sanders even if he is active. Going up against the Saints defense, I would prefer to just wait it out a week, right? I want to see what this backfield looks like. Because even when Sanders was healthy, now he was starting to trend towards getting some work, but that wasn't a guarantee, right? And we've had Jordan Howard perform incredibly well in his absence. Boston Scott has performed well. So what does this backfield now look like? And what does Nick Sirianni in particular want to do with it? That's the question. So Miles Sanders, if he plays, I mean, you're putting him into the same territory as the guys we continue to talk about in that range where it's like, I'm going to play him because I desperately need an option, but I would probably play Deontay Foreman over him. I would probably play JD McKissic over him.
Yeah, it's a great Yates that you brought up those two names. Those were honestly the two names that I was going to ask you about because I agree with you. I think if he returns here, you're not Jordan Howard, to be as fair as possible, has done nothing to say, hey, when Miles Sanders gets back, take me off the field. Like he has produced. Boston Scott has produced. You know they want to run, you know, this sort of timeshare anyway. So I can't imagine in a very difficult matchup that Miles Sanders would step in here and be like, hey, guys, I'm in 18 carries here out of my way. Like,
I mean, this backfield has been so topsy-turvy with, like, Kenneth Gainwell getting work. And then once Miles Sanders goes out, Gainwell just goes to the wayside. You know, like, I just don't want to trust it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Jalen Hurts. How are you feeling over the fact that Jalen Hurts has now become a much more competent real-life quarterback in recent weeks, but a worse fantasy option right now? What are you doing with him in fantasy?
This just illustrates the how weird this season has been for fantasy. Jalen Hurts. You just wanted like a microcosm of what this 2021 fantasy season has been. Look at Jalen Hurts. I've still got him at 6 on the week. You know, yeah. Like, I think that this is a tougher matchup for opposing quarterbacks. I get that, but Jalen Hurts, I still think you got to start him.
I mean, the good news with him is that even if he's not running like a crazy amount, like he still will give you that 40 to 50 yards rushing. And the thing is, when you think about that and you're like, well, that's not that much. That's the equivalent of, depending on your league settings, like what, 100, 125 yards passing, right? It takes him from 170, or a touchdown. Exactly right. Like that's a huge deal if you sort of take that out. And he always offers that floor. So I agree. And again, we mentioned Devontae Smith, you know, it's, you know, Saints are tough, but you're starting Devontae Smith here, right?
Yeah, I've got him at 23 on the week. And it's more so to do with once you get past that range, the top 24, like it's Hunter Renfrow, it's Christian Kirk, Emmanuel Sanders, Corey Davis, like, you know, those guys where I just don't have a ton of confidence in them. So Devontae Smith, yeah, I think that you got to start him at this point.
I agree. And yes, I realize I should clarify this because I don't think I got there. If Miles Sanders sits, how do you feel about the Eagles running backs?
You're playing them, you know, either Boston Scott or Jordan Howard out of necessity. And that's purely it. You know, it's the same thing as kind of what I talked about with Baltimore of Latavius Murray, Devontae Freeman. Like you're playing those guys just based on the fact that you have no other options. So Jordan Howard would probably be the guy that I would go with. But yeah, not again, tougher matchup.
I'm actually just very excited to watch this game from just a forget about fantasy, just from a football perspective. Two teams that really need this win here for the playoff hunt. The Eagles, I mean, will probably be, you know, in a really good spot for the playoffs if they do win this game. So I am excited just to watch it as a football fan. I'm not excited to watch it from the running back standpoint because it's going to be close my eyes. Before we get going, hopefully you're listening to this because you are still in your season-long fantasy leagues. But if you're not, if your fantasy teams are in a little trouble, go to Prize Picks. Play some fantasy props. Again, we did it with the over-under challenge. You can do it on Prize Picks. Turn your fantasy knowledge into cold, hard cash. All you got to do, very simple. Pick 2 to 5 players. Baby time here. 2 to 5 players. Decide if they're going to go over or under their stat projections. And again, you can do real stats like receiving yards or touchdowns, or you can do fantasy points, whatever you want to do. The more players you pick, the more money you can win, up to 10 times your amount. And again, multi-sports entries. Is LeBron James going to go over or under his point total? Is Patrick Mahomes going to go over or under his passing yards total? Really easy. Make your entries in less than a minute. It's got a 4.8 rating in the App Store. Take your game to a new level with Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Simplified. Use our promo code GRIDIRON. I always prefer the promo code Yates, but promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% deposit match up to $100. Washington football team at the Carolina Panthers. Let's start with Washington here, and let's talk about Gibson briefly, Yates. I mean, we're both going to rank him as starts, of course, because you are, and got this huge workload coming off the bye against the Bucs last week. Is this a sign of, you know, three straight games where he was kind of limited before the bye? Are you buying into this as kind of what we'll see here as the workhorse back for Gibson?
I am. And in the trade video that I do on the YouTube channel here at youtube.com/fantasypros, in week 9, I talked about Antonio Gibson as a buy low candidate. You know, he had the game up against Denver in week 9, and then he was going on his bye in week 10. And I alluded to that bye week being crucial for him to be able to rest up and just like some time away, just to be able to allow that stress fracture to at least rest. And because they hadn't shut him down at that point, they hadn't given him significant time off in practice, really, to be able to rest up. And I think that if you were a team that, and what I talked about was, if you were a team that was looking to make a deep playoff push, Antonio Gibson was the perfect option to go out and acquire as your RB3, right? You could get him dirt cheap at that point. And now we've got the workload, the workhorse Antonio Gibson coming back. And granted, that was because of a fluky game script, right? No one saw that coming, where I don't think that I'm projecting 26 carries or whatever he got last week from Antonio Gibson, but I think that we have to move him back into this territory of a mid-range running back too. And no matter the matchup, we know that he's going to get the goal line work. We know that he's going to get volume. So yeah, I think Antonio Gibson right back into starting lineups there as a mid-range running back too for me.
So I am starting him in this one. I have him at RB22. I'm just a little less certain about what we're going to see here against the Panthers defense that's just generally improving overall. Right. I don't expect this to be a blowout, which I think does bode well for Gibson, because I think it's probably going to be kind of a ball control type of game. We'll talk about Cam in a second. But, you know, for me, again, I think I'm willing to play this a little, you know, cautiously. The stress fracture in his shin did not heal from a week off. Like, that's right, just not right. The right way it works. I'm not criticizing your point of view or anything like that. I'm more explaining why, sure. Right? I'm a little more cautious on it, just because, again, I'm not willing to just sort of accept that, like, wow, this is going to be, you know, I don't know whether or not it goes back to what we saw the three prior weeks, given this one crazy week that they sort of did. Now, I do think that Washington is a better football team than they've showed, even with the Chase Young injury, which is devastating for their defense, of course. Right. I think they're going to be in this game. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a ton of work. But for me, again, still a guy I'm starting, but like, I'll start Yates. Would you start Dave Montgomery or Antonio Gibson?
I have them back to back, so I would start David Montgomery.
Okay. How about James Robinson, assuming that he's good to go, which sounds like he is against San Francisco versus Antonio Gibson?
Yeah, you're in the same range. I have James Robinson at 14. I have Gibson at 16.
Okay, very good. You're starting Terry McLaurin?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I hope that he, you know, he's a guy who I've recommended to buy low on a lot. Obviously, the Panthers have a decent secondary. We're not going to see Logan Thomas in this game. Doesn't sound like we're going to see rookie Seals Jones. Right. Do you care? Is there anybody else in Washington who you're starting?
No, I mean, John Bates in deep dynasty leagues, but that's, I mean, just a desperation play. Otherwise, yeah. I mean, and I'll clarify, Terry McLaurin, I said I was starting him. I've got him at wide receiver 17 on the week. So
right. And that's the only thing. I wanted to clarify that. Yeah, it's like he's somebody you start, but we're in now like mid-range wide receiver 2 for the guy.
Yep.
Very good. Case in point, I am starting John Bates in the Scott Fishbowl this week. That's where we are. For the Panthers, I think you should probably start Christian McCaffrey. And we mentioned DJ Moore, Yates. Where did you say you had him?
I have DJ Moore all the way down at wide receiver 22. How the mighty have fallen.
Does his stock rise or stay the same or lower, I guess, with Cam Newton under center for you?
Honestly, I have no idea. You know, like, I need to wait this one out. This is another situation where we got to just wait this one out to see what kind of passer we're going to get from Cam. Now, we have confidence, we both do, in what Cam is going to be from a fantasy quarterback just based on his rushing volume, especially around the goal line. But what are we going to get as a passer? We have absolutely no idea. So DJ Moore, he could bounce back. He could, but there's also the possibility that we don't see that happen. We see Cam be a shell of his former self or continue what we have seen as far as him from a passer perspective recently. So yeah, DJ Moore, wide receiver 22, kind of splitting that gap there.
I wouldn't be surprised if Moore has a good game here.
Just I wouldn't either. Speaking, it's a great matchup.
Right? It's a great matchup. But like you said, Yates, you're right. We have no idea what to expect from Cam as a passer. We do have an idea of what to expect from Cam when we get close to the red zone and the end zone, which we expect here. So where do you have Cam ranked this week, Yates?
I've got him at QB 13. He's right on that edge of QB 1. And if we get the, if we get a full workload from him here, if we see what we need to see, then, I mean, he could rise into top 10, you know, status moving forward.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see this one. It's like, I want Cam. It was a great moment last week with the I'm back. I want Cam to succeed.
Here. I do too.
I want, right?
Especially
I want
in Carolina.
Yep. In Carolina, right. Let's see what they could do. Carolina is still sort of, you know, obviously in the playoff hunt. So, you know, it can get much worse than what it was with Sam Darnold. So, you know, him, with Christian McCaffrey, let's see where it is. Anybody else yet? You're not starting Robbie Anderson because he scored a touchdown last week, right?
No, not falling back into that trap. I will watch Robbie Anderson in this one to see what he does. Yep. If he is available on my waiver wire and I've got an open spot at the bottom of my bench, I will take the shot on him just to see what it could be. But no, I'm not starting Robbie Anderson. I've got him at wide receiver 54.
Okay, very good. I am with you. I will say that I also have Cam Newton at QB 13, so we are right there. 49ers at the Jaguars. For the Jaguars, we just mentioned you're starting, of course, James Robinson, assuming he goes, which everything sounds like he will. Yates, is Dan Arnold a set it and forget it tight end at this point?
He is. I mean, he's getting the target volume, and I think that we just got to completely lock him into starting lineups. Now, I don't think that there's a ton of upside with him, right, just based on the offense that he's playing in, but at the tight end position, we need volume. We need to chase volume, and Dan Arnold's getting it. So I've got him at tight end 11 on the week.
Yeah, I don't care about the ceiling. Give me that floor every single week, right? Like, absolutely, I'm 100% with you. Yates, every week I say I'm not going to recommend Marvin Jones as a start, and then I run my projections, and he comes out as, like,
I know,
borderline wide receiver 3, and that's where I have him ranked this week. What about you?
I've got him in that same territory, but man, I really do not want to play him if I can avoid it. You know, I've got him at 33 right now, and I just do not feel great about that. He'll move down by the time that I get to Sunday lineups there, or Sunday rankings. I got to move him down because he's done nothing. He's done nothing to indicate that he should be in start-worthy consideration.
So, Yates, I like to play this game every once in a while when I have the choice to make on a Thursday night game. I ranked Marvin Jones 33, as did you. I ranked Jacoby Myers 34th. Jacoby Myers 4 for 39 last night. Did I make the right decision ranking Marvin Jones ahead of Jacoby Myers based on that line that Myers had?
Oh, probably not.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, yeah, all right, if you get that from Marvin Jones, I would take it. But yeah, for whatever reason, he's always going to be the borderline wide receiver 3, because when you just look at what the game should unfold like and the way it does, he should be there. But yeah, gross. Try to avoid if you can. But again, when you're at that range, we've talked about it, Yates. When you're at that range, it gets ugly pretty quickly at that point. So you're not benching anybody great for Marvin Jones. Are you? Look, Jamal Agnew had the huge run. Laviska Shenault, there is a parallel universe where Laviska Shenault is a superstar instead of running outside. Are you starting anybody else here on the Jaguars?
Jamal Agnew is a flex play at this point. I'm rolling him out there in a redraft league, and it's actually working out. So I've got him at 44 on the week. He's someone that you can look at outside of our top 40, obviously. So he's a flex play. But and then Laviska Shenault, there's no reason you should be rostering him at this point. It's sad, but there's no reason.
Sucks, man, but you are correct. For the 49ers, again, we have question marks here with Elijah Mitchell.
Yep.
Kyle Shanahan is optimistic, but we haven't seen him at practice since the fractured finger, so let's assume he starts. You're starting him, no questions asked, right?
Yeah, I've got him at RB17, great matchup up against Jacksonville, but he is in a non-contact jersey, at least that was the last update that I saw, so it does not look good for him.
Would Wilson just slot right into where Mitchell is right now if Mitchell's out?
I honestly think so. I was going to ask you that question. Like, yes. I honestly think that Wilson would probably just drop right into that spot of RB17. Maybe I'd move him behind Saquon, who I've got as a placeholder at RB18 right now. Like, you know, but the matchup, you know, you look at the matchup up against Jacksonville and you say, I've got to start one of the San Francisco running backs up against them. So, yeah, Jeff Wilson, I think, would be the guy.
Yes, I would, to answer your question, essentially just like you. Yeah, he just slots right in there for me because I think he would get essentially the bulk of the workload. Obviously, should be a favorable game script for a running back here. So yeah, absolutely. You're starting, of course, Deebo Samuel. You are starting, of course, George Kittle. What about Brandon Ayuk, Yates?
Brandon Ayuk is interesting. I've got him at wide receiver 36 on the week. So he's someone based on the matchup that you should be looking at, but I just moved Marvin Jones down to wide receiver 38. I moved Brandon Ayuk up to 36. So it's like in that range. So am I playing Brandon Ayuk or am I playing Marvin Jones? I'll probably take the shot on Brandon Ayuk.
I realize that it's kind of silly to be doing that on the fly while we're doing this podcast, Yates, but one of my favorite parts of being a ranker is when my projections come out somewhere and I put in my rankings and I start to do stuff. And then I look at a spot and I say, if somebody asks me, am I starting Marvin Jones?
Exactly.
I'm going to say no.
Oh, I got to fix that.
I've got to fix that. I got to move him down. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I have I have not moved Marvin Jones down from 33 yet. I wait till Saturday to do my crazy rankings, but I do have Ayuk at 35 as well. So I'm right there.
Man,
with you.
I'll tell you the rush you get from doing on the fly rankings adjustments. It's worth looking into, man.
It's crazy. I'll try it next time for sure. Is anybody else on the 49ers worth starting for you?
No.
No is the correct answer. I was just teeing it up for you. Bengals at the Raiders. For the Raiders, how about Josh Jacobs here? Yates, he's obviously someone you start. Where do you have him ranked, though?
I have him at RB20. So someone that you can look at, but there's other options I would prefer.
How about Kenyon Drake? I'm not sure whether or not Jalen Richard is going to be able to go here. He got banged up in that last game. It doesn't matter to you whether or not Richard is active or not as to whether you start Drake.
It really doesn't. I mean, Kenyon Drake had three solid performances before last week and then, you know, disappointed with finishes the RB47 on the week against Kansas City. So, yeah, yep. There's no trusting, right? Kenyon Drake, you're playing him just based on the fact that you have absolutely no one else. So, no, I'm not looking at Kenyon Drake.
You're starting Darren Waller, and we talked briefly about Hunter Renfrow. Where does he actually slide in, Yates? Because I'm, you know, these guys who offer just this enormous floor at this point, I'm so, you know, starting DJ Moore every week, I'm just starting to really, really come around to the floor guys.
Yeah, for sure. And I meant, again, you mentioned like floor guys, like it's Hunter Renfrow, it's Christian Kirk. Emmanuel Sanders might not have that floor, but he should. Corey Davis comes with a safe floor. Like those guys are all back to back to back. So yep. Hunter Renfrow for me at wide receiver 25 on the week.
Okay. A couple of, you know, how about Bryan Edwards? Obviously, you know, he's basically he's going to see his four targets and he had the big game last week. What are you doing here with Bryan Edwards? Any interest?
Flex play at best. I've got him at wide receiver 49.
And Derek Carr, does he, you know, once upon a time, Derek Carr had sort of cracked the top 12 on a weekly basis. How about now?
It's interesting. So the Raiders just signed Tyron Johnson off of waivers from the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was previously with the Los Angeles Chargers. And I think that he is going to be elevated to the active roster here sooner rather than later. Maybe not this week. But with DeSean Jackson, I just don't know what he's got left in the tank, right? And he's filling that Henry Ruggs role. And I think Tyron Johnson can fill that role a lot better than DeSean Jackson. So in future weeks, I think that we're going to see Derek Carr, because that is a crucial role for this offense to be able to open things up underneath. And I think that we're going to see Derek Carr start to bounce back. But until that happens, I just don't know if I can trust him as that top borderline top 12 play. I've got him at QB 16. He's definitely someone that you can start, but I would prefer guys like Cam Newton. I would prefer Tua Tagovailoa over him.
How about the Bengals here? I mean, you know, I feel like we just sort of, we roll out, of course, Joe Mixon, of course, Jamar Chase, and of course, T. Higgins, no questions asked, right, on any three of them, right?
Correct.
And Joe Burrow right here, coming off the bye in your starting 12, I assume.
Absolutely. I've got him at QB 10.
How about Tyler Boyd, Yates, a guy who I feel like another one of these sort of Marvin Jones-esque guys who I'm like, I don't really want to recommend you as a start, but he always falls into that flex consideration for me.
Yeah, he's outside of that flex consideration for me, or at least in that. I mean, he's back-to-back with Bryan Edwards, and I mentioned I've got Edwards at 49. So I really just, I mean, Russell Gage was at wide receiver 50 in my rankings. Like, that's what we're looking at here with Tyler Boyd. If you get that from Tyler Boyd, if you get what Gage did last night from Boyd, you're happy, and that's just not the place that I want to live.
It's a great way to frame it. And I think that that's correct. Like that when you, I like taking the Thursday night games and say like, okay, we got this. Would we be happy with that? Right. And that's sort of a good sense of where to rank the guy. Yeah. I mean, he's 40, low 40s for me. So it's somebody who I always feel like I rank Boyd too high. But again, I will reexamine that here. And I assume you're not starting CJ Uzama.
He's in the same range as Cole Kmet, Tyler Conklin. Like he's in that range where dart throw play. I would probably feel a little bit more confident in the target volume of Cole Kmet than CJ Uzama. So I'll give the slight edge there to Kmet. But yeah, in the range, you can look his way if you're in a pinch.
The game we all need, Cowboys at the Chiefs. I mean, this might be easier for the Cowboys. Really, both teams just say, who are you not starting in this game? So let's just start with the Cowboys. Like, okay, Dak Prescott, CD Lamb, assuming that he's okay. You know, obviously a little banged up. Right. Amari Cooper, I might ask you specifics there. Ezekiel Elliott, of course. Okay, are you starting Dalton Schultz still? Is he still in the circle of trust?
Circle of trust? No, but am I still starting him? Yes. I've got him at tight end 10. Just based on the game script, I think you still have to look his way.
Where do you actually have Amari Cooper ranked in this one? How about like Amari Cooper or let's say Terry McLaurin?
Super close. I've got Cooper at 15, McLaurin at 17.
Okay. How about Michael Gallup here, who returned, looked pretty good, got some targets. Are you starting him here?
Yeah, I've got him at wide receiver 33 in the vacated Marvin Jones spot. So, I'll definitely be looking Michael Gallup's way. I think that again, there's upside here in this game script.
Marvin Jones moving other receivers up since 2015. Okay. How about Tony Pollard, Yates? Obviously a little bit of a resurgence last week. Zeke, looked a little slow, a little banged up. It was obviously a dominant performance by that offense, but are you starting him as a potential flex?
I talk about him in that, I've mentioned his name a couple times in this episode, talking about him with Zach Moss, Deontay Foreman, you know, JD McKissick. I've got Tony Pollard at 30. So he's right on that threshold where mid-range running back 3, flex play, you can get by. Otherwise, there are better options.
For the Chiefs, are we expecting Clyde Edwards-Helaire to sit up here after Reed's comments about week 13 or
so
what?
So confusing. It was like, all right, we're going to see CEH in week 11. Oh, wait, we might not get him till week 13. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to get. I think if CEH plays, I think that you can start him as a low-end running back too. Man, I think that even if CEH plays, I still think that Darrell Williams would fall into that range of Tony Pollard, where I still think that he's going to have a role. How do you take Darrell Williams off the field based on what he did this past week as a receiver particularly? So, yeah, I think that it's going to be interesting. And if CEH sits, then Darrell Williams, man, borderline top 12 play.
Very good, Yates. You are answering my questions before I even ask them. Now, I agree
with
you, by the way.
We've done this podcast together.
It's almost like we've done this podcast nonstop every week for 2 years. I think you are correct. I would start both Edwards-Helaire and Williams as a flex for sure. You're right. They're not taking Williams off the field. And by the way, even before Edwards-Helaire got injured, Williams had sort of carved out a role for himself. Right. He was getting goal line touches. So I do think you can still start him as well. Of course, you're starting Mahomes. Of course, you're starting Hill. Of course, you're starting Travis Kelce. Are you starting anybody else for the Chiefs?
No, I don't think so.
That's the correct answer. Cardinals at the Seahawks. Again, things are trending in the right direction right now for Kyler Murray. People might know a little bit more about this. And of course, if Kyler Murray plays, we'd probably expect him to be a little limited here, right? Not the usual mobility, but of course you start Kyler Murray, right?
Yeah, I've got him at QB8, assuming that he plays.
Okay.
And assuming that he's going to be a little bit limited.
That's actually exactly where I am as well. I don't really think we need to even talk about DeAndre Hopkins. I think there's basically no chance for DeAndre Hopkins to suit up here. Okay.
I agree.
So let's analyze it as if Kyler Murray is starting. Christian Kirk, we talked about him. Where would you have him ranked?
Wide receiver 26. He's coming with an extremely safe floor, and that's kind of what we got with Hunter Renfrow. I know that you keep referring to him as like Hunter Renfrow light. Man, I just think he's like Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah,
like, I think that
you're
he's,
right.
He's in that
you're
same
right.
range.
Yeah, you are absolutely correct. I don't know why I keep doing that. I think it's just like Hunter Renfrow sort of started the game, and now Christian Kirk
a little
late to it. Okay. So what about, though, if Kyler Murray does not play here? And it's Colt McCoy, who, again, he had his own injury concerns, but it sounds like he's going to be able to go if need be. How do you feel about Christian Kirk then?
I'd probably downgrade him just a little bit there, but still think that he's going to have a safe floor. So probably in the same range of like Jarvis Landry, Rashad Bateman.
Yeah, I agree. I think you start Christian Kirk regardless. And again, we've seen it with Colt McCoy. Still had a couple of good games here. How about the running backs? I mean, James Conner is just a start regardless of who's under center, right?
Correct. Yeah, I've got him at RB12.
And you mentioned Zach Ertz, Yates. Where did you have him? 11?
13th.
Did I make that up? 13th. Okay. So again, a guy you can get away with starting. And again,
that's assuming
Kyler
Murray
starts.
Yep. I would downgrade him slightly. If I would probably play Cole Kmet over him if we have Colt McCoy.
Okay. Any interest? AJ Green, Rondale Moore?
Rondale Moore, no. AJ Green right behind Jamal Agnew and Kendrick Bourne. You know, like that's the territory that we're at with AJ Green.
Yeah. Okay, for the Seahawks, Yates, look, bud, how do you do this right now based on what we saw from Russell Wilson? Do we just expect, hey, that was rust coming back? It's possible that that's going to really impact him, his finger, and he's not 100% yet. So how do you basically analyze this entire offense here for the Seahawks? Are you downgrading at all DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett for this week?
I think that with Russell Wilson, I think that we are going to see him bounce back. I do think that that was rust. With what we had from him last week, not Russ. I think that with Russell Wilson, I've got him at QB12 on the week. I've got him in a couple of spots, particularly the Sleeper Bowl, and I'm like hesitating between playing him or Derek Carr. I'm going to still roll out Russell Wilson. That's kind of the range that I'm at where I just feel like we're going to see him bounce back, and it's still Russell Wilson. Like what we saw this past week was not what we've come to know from him, right? That was his worst game as a pro. So yeah, I think Russell Wilson will bounce back, but kind of hedging there as far as QB12 in my rankings.
Wilson or Ryan Tannehill? Forgot.
Super close. I've got Ryan Tannehill with a slight edge.
All right. Tyler Lockett, Yates, this looks an awful lot like the Tyler Lockett from last year. You either get the ginormous game or the nothing game. Would you start Tyler Lockett or Brandon Cooks?
So I dropped off my my 3-year-old at daycare this morning, and I was coming back in the car, and I was listening to the kickoff, and you mentioned that Tyler Lockett, his ECR was wide receiver 16 or something like that, and I audibly in my car was like, what? like, I just could not believe where his ECR was. No, I've got him at 21, and there's the case to be made that he could be even further down than that. So, yeah, I would prefer to look elsewhere, but, I mean, he's still Tyler Lockett. You still got to at least look his way.
Yeah, I don't know what we do with the running backs here, Yates. It doesn't sound like Carson's going to... I hadn't even seen Carson, what happened on Thursday or anything like that. I didn't see the practice reports with him. I couldn't find it for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Alex Collins didn't practice. He was downgraded. Right. He didn't practice. Chris Carson plays. Alex Collins both play. What do we do with the running backs?
I think you look at Chris Carson as a high-end RB3, and that's pretty much it.
Okay, Chris Carson doesn't play. Alex Collins does play. How high do you have Collins?
Probably in that same range as a high-end RB3. You know, like I don't know if I want to trust Collins.
Totally gross, this entire thing. And I assume Gerald Everett doesn't earn your trust here despite his big game last week.
No, and I think he's also sidelined or was sidelined on Thursday. He's dealing with some sort of injury, too.
Too many injuries.
Yep.
Too many injuries.
And DK Metcalf, I didn't mention. Yeah. So I've got him at wide receiver 11. Like Metcalf, I'm willing to trust.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think you trust DK Metcalf regardless, because it really, I mean, we saw obviously when Geno was in there, like it could all go very well for DK very quickly. So you do that. For the Steelers, again, question marks at quarterback. I think everybody's kind of expecting Roethlisberger to be cleared at this point, but he did have symptoms, by the way, like he self-reported, of course. And so we have seen that quarterbacks, especially who have symptoms, sometimes like they're not at 100%, of course, like when they first come back. So let's assume Ben starts in this one. I'm not sure it makes a difference in the starts at decisions, but of course you are starting Najee Harris. Where does Deontay Johnson rank for you out of curiosity this week?
Deontay Johnson at wide receiver 14 for me.
Okay. So and is that assuming that Roethlisberger starts or Mason Rudolph starts, or does it not matter?
It might not matter. I mean, you know, the floor is still there. The target volume is still there. Now, Claypool coming back could play a role in that too. Like,
yeah,
this, I hope that we have Ben playing, because I really do not want to watch Mason Rudolph on Sunday Night Football. I think Deontay Johnson is still a safe option for you. I think that, you know, I would probably move him below Amari Cooper, just based on the game script there, the narrative there in that game, the shootout, maybe behind Michael Pittman Jr. too, but he's in that range where it's just an extremely safe option.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm not expecting Chase Claypool, by the way, to suit up here. I know he has returned to limited practice. He might. That's just a Dan Harris sort of thing, just because the initial stuff I read about his injury suggested it was a multi-week absence. So we'll see. He has returned to limited practice. If he starts, though, Yates, with the toe injury, are you starting him?
No. No.
Okay. You're just out on Chase, even if Ben plays.
Yeah, I would prefer to wait a week.
Okay. How about Pat Freiermuth?
Yeah, at this point, I mean, just locked into your starting lineup. If we're talking about guys like Dalton Schultz and Dan Arnold and Dawson Knox, like, I've got Pat Freiermuth at 9. Now, I would downgrade him slightly if we do have Mason Rudolph. I mean, how bad is Mason Rudolph? So I would downgrade him slightly, but still at tight end 9 for me right now.
Yeah, I agree that I'm downgrading. I will say the one thing is, and I forgot who brought this up on a different podcast, but it is that Rudolph did not have any idea that he was starting until, Ben reported the symptoms on Saturday. So you had the practice with the starters all week for Ben. And so Rudolph was just kind of thrown in with the whole week to at least practice with the starters. I'm hoping it would be, and not in the pouring rain, I'm hoping it would be a little better. But obviously we have seen Mason Rudolph in the past. We're not optimistic.
I'm going off of the fact that there was this one play where Mason Rudolph had Ray-Ray McCloud wide open in the end zone and he skipped the ball to him. So, I mean, nothing interfering with him getting a touchdown and he skipped the ball to him. So, yeah, I don't want to watch Mason Rudolph.
I have no interest in being a Mason Rudolph defender. I promise you that. Regardless, you're not starting anybody else, right, in this game?
No, not in this game.
That's the correct answer. I mean, for the Steelers, right?
For
the Chargers, okay, you're starting Austin Ekeler, you're starting Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Yates. How many bad games in a row before we're like, okay, we're going to put this guy outside of start consideration?
Again, this was another one that I was shocked to see his ECR. I think it's still sitting inside the top 24. And looking at what Mike Williams has done over the past few weeks, so you look at his fantasy finishes from week 6 on, wide receiver 71, they had the bye week in week 7. Then wide receiver 77, wide receiver 41, wide receiver 47. Like, that is just terrible. He's hurting your lineup more than he's helping it. So I know he went on that tear, you know, to start the season, but that is just not the case here anymore. And I don't think that we can confidently play him over some of these other guys. Like, I'm going to take the safe floor of Hunter Renfro, Christian Kirk. I'll take the shot on Emmanuel Sanders. I'll even play Corey Davis over Mike Williams at this point. So Williams at 31 for me in my wide receiver rankings, and I might move him down further than that.
I can't argue with anything you were saying, Yates. How about Justin Herbert? He's obviously, you know, he's been struggling a little bit here, on and off. So I assume, though, he still ranks in your top 12.
It's frustrating when we can look at Justin Herbert and we can say, can we get Anthony Lynn's offense back for this guy? Justin Herbert, I've still got him at QB9, but there is the potential that he moves down. I might move him below Joe Burrow and Ryan Tannehill just because, again, you mentioned it, he hasn't been getting the job done. So no. I do have some concerns, but the matchup against Pittsburgh is at least enticing enough to keep him in the top 12.
Yeah, it is the offense, man. It's not an offense that I think is, you know, ideal for him and wasn't coming in. And we sort of forgot about it because he was so good early on. But yeah, I agree. Anybody else who you want to start here on the Chargers?
Jared Cook is in consideration, but as a, you know, in the same range that I've talked about with Cole Kmet and Tyler Conklin and Zach Ertz, I've got Jared Cook at 15. And that's just based on the fact that you don't have another option. Otherwise, no, that's it.
Yeah, Cook is 17 for me. And at this point, because I have Kmet, Conklin, Knox, Freiermuth, Arnold, Ertz, all these guys ahead of him, I'm like, you've got to have somebody better at this point. Last one, Yates, Giants at the Bucs. Let's start with the Bucs. You are starting Tom Brady. You are starting Mike Evans. You are starting Chris Godwin. And you are starting Leonard Fournette. And Antonio Brown's not going to play here, I think, for many reasons.
I think so.
It does sound like Gronk is going to return here. And I assume when Gronk returns, he is just locked and loaded in your lineup.
Yep, 100%. I might move him into the tight end 7, tight end 8 range above TJ Hockenson, just because, again, Gronk is fully healthy. And he got in, was it a full practice or was it a limited? A full practice for Rob Gronkowski during the middle of the week. Woo, he's at 110%. I will play. I'll play Gronk as a top 7 option.
Anybody else here you're considering on the Bucs?
No.
Yeah, it's just a start everybody basically game, which I love. For the Giants, let's assume Saquon returns here. He's still limited at practice. It's a Monday night game. For goodness, give us some clarity before we get there. But Saquon Barkley starts, I believe you said 18.
Yes. Yeah. Good memory. 18.
So. Thank you. So you are starting him, of course, in this matchup. If he does not start, would Booker slide in right there or what?
No, I'd probably move him below Miles Gaskin. I'd probably move him into that running back 22 range.
Yeah. Again, it's a tough matchup versus the Bucs, but they have not been infallible against running backs. And are we assuming that Vita Vea doesn't play?
I was just about to ask. I know that Vita Vea got injured. I don't know what his status is.
He's practicing with a brace right now. I'm not expecting him to go just based on what I saw about the injury, that it is something that might take him a little time to recover from. Obviously, if he does play, it's much worse for any opposing running back.
He's huge for that, literally, for that defensive line.
Yeah, but I still do think that Barkley would have to be a start. I just would Booker just because of, Booker's basically getting 19 touches a game. Like, I'd have to basically say that whoever's starting at running back has to be started. Yep. Kadarius Toney off the injury report. Sounds like Galladay is too. Sounds like Sterling Shepard not trending in the right direction necessarily. What receiver, if any, for the Giants are you starting in this one?
Galladay is probably going to get the slight edge there for me. I've got Galladay at 35. I have Kadarius Toney at 39. So those guys both can be started as top 40 plays, but adjusting expectations, I really don't want to start them.
If Shepard miraculously does return to practice and does play, who would you start then?
Probably Shepard, but that would be it.
That's right, Yates. Thank you. I knew you were coming off that off the top of your head. That's the correct answer right there. Yeah. Any interest in anybody else? Daniel Jones is a streamer, potentially?
No. I've got Daniel Jones a little bit further down. There's the path that he could finish with a nice game, but, I mean, it's just too many variables there with Daniel Jones, as always. And then Evan Ingram, I'm looking his way in Scott Fishbowl, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. If we're looking at somebody again in Scott Fishbowl, it's absolutely at the tight end position, yes. Right. Yeah. At the tight end position, it's absolutely meaningless right now. Yates! Congratulations, you made it through. I don't think you fell asleep throughout.
No.
So
coffee kicked in. I'm good.
I hope you're able, though, to have a restful rest of your day and that you are in just basking in the glory that is the first couple of weeks of a newborn. It's real easy, right?
Oh, yeah. Super, super easy. Yep.
Yeah. You're crushing it. Your wife's a superstar. You're a superstar. Yep. I am not a superstar, but I am going to end this podcast now. Thank you to some of our sponsors, Organifi, for example. Remember, go to Organifi.com/FantasyPros. Use code FantasyPros for 20% off your first order. Also, check out Uncut with Jay Cutler, off the cuff and uncut, just like you'd expect from Cutler. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Finally, thanks to Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Simplified. Use our promo code GridIron to receive a 100% deposit match up to $100. Have a great weekend of football, everybody. I'm going to talk to you again on Sunday night.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.